passage of scripture that we read in your hearing. This is where we have the children of Israel in a span about 2 months after they had been out of bondage, had left Egypt. And I just had a thought. I said, it's just like when you first get grown, or you think you're grown, and you get out of mama's and daddy's house. It's your light bill now. It's your water bill. Yeah. All of it belongs to you now. Before you can get out of one crisis, you are in another crisis. And crises have a tendency to bring about two things: murmuring and grumbling. And this is where the children of Israel are in this passage of scripture. In chapter 15, they had started the murmuring and the grumbling. They had gotten to a place where they did not have water. The water was bitter. And they started complaining and blaming Brother Moses and Brother Aaron, as we do all the time. We got to blame somebody, because I'm not going to blame myself. I believe that they had prepared food enough to last them for approximately a month or a month and a half. And here they are here in this passage about 15 to 20 days inside of the second month, and all the food seemed to be gone. Here they had another crisis, and that's hunger. No, they weren't hungry, they were hungry. They had committed this sin before. So with us, all of us, after I have committed a sin one time, it's easier to commit it the second time. And if I stay there, I will continue to commit that same sin over and over and over and over again. They left a place called Elam, and they started marching across the desert called Sin. Some places you read this word, it will be spelled S-I-N-N. And some places you read it, it will be spelled Z-I-N-N. But it was a place where they had to cross. And they ran out of food. And the people start grumbling against the servant of God. Why were they grumbling? Because they were hungry. They had used up all of the food supply that they had carried enough to last them if they would have been obedient and could have done exactly like God said. By the time they walked those 11 days, they would have been in the land of Canaan. But sometimes sin has a way of getting in our way. And they ran out of food. And out in the middle of the desert, they didn't have any food. And I just want to tell you, you couldn't pick up your cell phone and call and order pizza out. Or you couldn't call ahead and let Burger King and McDonald's know you're going to be coming through, and you got about 2 or 3 million people, and you want them to feed you. That's an impossibility. But here is where we run into the situation: the promises of God. God will make a way. When it seemed like there is no way, God will make a way. When you don't know which way to go, look to the hills from whence cometh your help. And God will provide a way out of no way. When you seem to be hedged in on every side. Everywhere you look, there's a block. But I promise you one thing. If you get on your knees and look up, everything will be all right. And that's a problem when you and me begin to look at the people that are in leadership. If we began to look at them, I say this so many times and try to say it so many different ways. If things go wrong here, don't look at me. Because I'm just like you. I'm trying to work my way serving God so I can get to heaven. But because we are in these spots, God got to have somebody. And all of us need to ask ourselves this question, why not me? Sister Gladys Milton wrote her book about that, why not me? We got to put ourselves there because God needs somebody to work for him. Point number one. God promised to provide bread from heaven for his people. You can see that in verse number 4:16. The only conceivable way for 2 to 3 million people could be fed out in the wilderness of a desert and fed for over 40 years would be by a miracle of God. And this is exactly what God promised. He promised to feed his people, to feed them in such a way that his existence, his love, and his care could never be questioned nor doubted. God will provide just what he said he would do. He promised them in verse 4 that he would provide bread for them. Y'all, I got my notes, and I'm going to try to get through them if I can, but if I get away from them, don't look at me. Look at my boss. Because God, if God makes a promise, it's better than American Express. It's better than anything else. If God makes a promise, he's going to keep his promise. All we have to do is just persevere and stay right there. God had promised them when he brought them out of Egypt. He said, I'm going to take you to the promised land. Then said nothing was going to stop them. If God makes a promise, you just try to live so you can see the promise come through. Because it's coming. We are going to go to the promised land. Just like Jesus told the guys, get in the boat, we're going to the other side. Or you may have to go through a storm. But he didn't say the storm was going to wreck the ship. He said, get in the boat and let's go to the other side. Storms may come in our lives. But if God said, that's all right. God made a promise. And he's not backed down on his promise yet. Jesus told us somewhere in John, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And some of us, sometime when problems come in our lives, we just forget about Jesus and we try to do it ourselves. Brothers and sisters, I stop by to tell you, he is the best thing that ever happened in your life. All you got to do is just open up and receive him into your life. And the promises of God are awesome and they're wonderful for us if we would just take them in. Point number 2. I can tell you, y'all ought to write small because I got about 7 or 8. Point number 2. God would, however, test their faith. I kind of forgot about them when I wrote that one down there. Because I didn't start thinking about none of y'all. I started thinking about me. God, if we take his promise, if we take his promises, he's going to test us. Simply to me, because I've said that I'm his. Yeah, uh-huh. Verses 4 and 5 in that same passage of scripture, he tested them by charging them to only gather bread every day for that particular day. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. And I'm going to close my eyes so I can't see them. How many people in here now got a freezer that's full of food? Okay, I'm opening them now, so y'all take them down. But he said, gather enough for the day. Give us this day our daily bread. And here we have two or three freezers full of food. What does this tell God about me? That he said for them to gather enough for a day. And he was going to test them. Brothers and sisters, he's testing us too. We gather up so much stuff so we can have it for a rainy day. And it never rains. So what do we do with what we have? We hoard up some more. Gather enough only for a day. One day supply, no more, no less. By laying down this restriction, God was testing their trust in him. They had to trust God day by day for food. God commanded them to gather twice as much on the sixth day because he did not want to have to kill them on the seventh day. Because they were not supposed to go out and work on the Sabbath day. So he told them, gather enough on the sixth day. And that will serve twice as much. You won't have to work on the seventh day. Go out and gather. God wants us to be obedient to what he tells us to do if we are going to be his children. And I said, God was saying, well, I told you that about the water that I would provide, and you didn't believe me then. But since I provided that for you, you ought to believe that I'm going to do this. Now, my question to you again is, how many times have God brought you out? And you're in the middle of one right now, and you're not trusting him to get you through it. You're going to do what you can to get through it. We need to learn to take our hands off of stuff and just leave it in the hands of God. We bring stuff to the altar and we bring it to the altar and we take it back to our seat with us. We don't leave it there. Brothers and sisters, what we need to do is just trust in God based upon what he's done for us in the yesterdays. He brought you through this. He will bring you through that. You just got to trust him. He'll bless you enough so you won't have to be worried anybody else. We need to just trust in God, and God's going to test you, but you need to know that God will not leave you nor forsake you. You got to go and do what you told him to do, and God have already made a way for us to be saved, but he told the children of Israel when he sent down that manner that he was sending it to them, but they had to do something themselves. Brothers and sisters, you got to do something yourself. God's going to do his part. You got to do your part. Point number three, God would prove himself. He wouldn't prove nobody else. He would prove himself. That's in verses 6 and 7. God's servant went before God people and declared unto them God's word, the wonderful promise that in the evening the Lord will send quail down for them to eat. He would give them a provision, and God would give them the provision to prove that who he said he was, he would do what he said he was. They start eating the manna, and then before this, somewhere I remember reading up all this, they had been complaining because they were remembering when they were sitting around the flesh pot in Egypt, because they didn't have what they were used to eating. They didn't have it, so they began to complain about it. And this tells me one thing: when you leave out of the sin of the world, and you come to Christ, if you start looking back, where you looking back at's going to look better than where you are now. You need to not look back. You need to just keep your eyes focused on the cross, and God will prove himself to you. He told them that in the morning I'm going to fill you with bread. In the evening I'm going to give you flesh. I'm going to give you meat to eat. I remember reading somewhere and preparing for this. It said the quail would come down and they just fall down right in front of them. And it said the quail fell, they were so thick that it was almost 2 cubits high, a quail all around the camp. Now listen to this. No matter where they were camped, God provided. That's home delivery. And we think we just got home delivery. God delivered out in the wilderness, and he delivered to between 2 and 3 million people at the same time. And nobody had to call him and tell him that he sent the wrong thing. But people gonna complain, y'all. But God will provide just what you need. God himself proved himself to the children of Israel. He told Moses what to tell them, and Moses told them. But then God himself had to prove that he was still God, and there was nobody else but him. He is the true and the living God. He will. He'll provide just what you need. And I need you to help me to preach this message. And where you got to help me to preach this message is that you got to live it in your life. You got to get to the place in your life where God have proved himself to you. And don't nobody else have to know how he proved himself to you, because how he blessed you and he brought you from. Listen to me. God's been too good to us for us to sit down on him and not praise him and not tell the world where he brought us from. Oh Lord, thank you for proving yourself to me. If you don't do anything else, that's one of them songs, ain't it? He's already, he's done enough. Don't have to do nothing else, God. I just thank you for where you brought me from. You've already proved yourself to me, because you got me where I am now. Never thought I'd make it, but you got me right here. Thank you, Lord, for proving yourself to me this day. Listen, people gonna grumble and complain all the time. That's the nature of us. But God's people ought to be satisfied with wherever God got you, because if God didn't have something for you to do right where you are, you wouldn't be there. You'd be someplace else. Might not like it. Might be a bad atmosphere. But God got a saint there, and you are the saint. That's why you're there. There's somebody that you need to witness to. You need to tell them. And sometime we can witness to them by not retaliating to what they say or what they do. Just smile and say, thank you, Lord. And every now and then, you ought to let them hear you say, God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. No matter what they've done or what they've said, that's the way God proves himself. Because in the yesterdays, I wouldn't ask him to bless you. Yeah. Would have asked something else. You know. Point number 4. God gave a warning to the people of Israel, and he warned them that grumbling is not against his servant, but against God himself. Why is that, Baggett? Because Sometimes when you complain against those people that God have placed over you, they doing what they doing, it's going to help you. You just can't see it. And you blaming them. You complaining against them. You murmuring about them. No, leave them alone. You said you put them in the hands of God. So don't you trust God enough to take care of it? Yeah, that's what you got to do. And this is what God had to me. God was getting Moses and Aaron, because they were beginning to feel bad because the people were complaining to them. It ain't you, Moses. You didn't bring them out of Egypt. You didn't part the Red Sea. You didn't drown Pharaoh in the Red Sea. So Moses, who are they complaining against? Against God himself. And I hope this helped somebody that got a murmuring and a grumbling spirit. That you stop your murmuring and your grumbling. And instead of murmuring and grumbling, you go down on your knees and talk to God. And God will provide just what you need. Well, let me tell you what I said on this. In this problem that the Israelites had, they were coming out of enslavement in Egypt. And Moses and Aaron was leading them, and they was beginning to march towards the promised land. God had made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs, that they would inherit a land. And that's one of the things that I love about God. He does not go back on his promises. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and Aaron, and all them other 2 and something million people had nothing to do with God's promise, whether God would keep it or not. Brothers and sisters, and if you don't go away from here with anything else, go away from here with this today. If you make a promise to somebody else, they ought not to have anything to do with you not keeping your promise. I ain't lost. I'm marinating you on that one, because it took something for me to say that one. Because if I make a promise to you, you are to be the recipient of the promise. You shouldn't decide whether I do it or not. Now, God made a promise, and they were complaining against him because they felt like he was not keeping his promise. But they was complaining about God through Moses and Aaron. So now, where did Moses and Aaron have to go? Right to God. So now, I got to say this, y'all. It's not in my notes, but I'll say it anyway. When you complain about me, I ain't going to you. I know it might not be right to say I ain't, but it felt good on that one. I'm going to go to God. And if I complain and grumble about you, you go to God. That's why y'all hear me tell you, when y'all get to acting crazy and all, I don't say nothing to you. I just go to God. Because he is the one. He is my leader. Moses was leading them, but Moses himself had a leader. And God is his leader. So that's where he was going to go. You, if you murmur and grumble against the leaders, God's leaders, you are murmuring against him. If you complain about the county commissioners, if you complain about the county road department, you're complaining against the county commissioners in Okaloosa County. If you complain against the deputies of the city police, you're complaining against the chief of police. It's just that simple. And that's what it is here. They were complaining against God, and they were complaining against the one that had brought them out. That doesn't make too much sense. They were complaining. They were complaining, and God is the reason that they were out of bondage. Because he trusted them to be his people. But the trust did not go back towards God from them. They had the same attitude a lot of us have. What have you done for me lately? You haven't brought me out of any big to-dos lately, so you don't care for me. God had a love and a care for the children of Israel. And God would work things out for their good. When we complain and grumble, we are saying to God that we do not trust him. Do not trust him because we do not think he loves us and he will not deliver us from the situation that we're in. Then we start complaining and grumbling against God. Stop the grumbling and the murmuring and just go to thanking God. Whatever your situation is, if you take the time to look around, you will see somebody else in a worse predicament than you are in. And you're not judging, but you just know that they're in a worse one than you are, and you pray for them. Because we need to stop grumbling and murmuring about the situations and start praying and talking to God. All the things politically that you think's going wrong in the United States of America, you can write letters to congressmen and presidents and all that, all you want them. They can't do anything about it. That's where you go. That's where you go. You go to him. And you don't go to him every now and then. Every day, all day. If you're washing dishes, washing dishes, praising God. If you're cooking, praise God. But don't start arguing and fussing and fighting. Because he's not going to get in that. That's what they were doing. They were grumbling and mumbling among themselves. But we do not. We need to just constantly be in prayer to this God that we serve. Point number five. God laid down prerequisite for receiving the bread that he was sending down. He told Moses in verses 9 and 10 to have the people to come near me, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Come down here so you can listen to me. And this is moved to me spiritually, not physically. He wanted them to come back from where they were of grumbling and complaining and come to thanking and lifting up holy hands and giving praise unto God and constantly thanking him for all the great things that he's done for us. When believers sin against God by complaining and grumbling, they must come before the Lord and draw near unto him. This is when we must confess and repent of the sins that we have committed. The children of Israel obeyed the word of God, what Moses and Aaron told them to do. And then as he told them to look to the cloud, which symbolizes God's presence. The glory of the cloud appeared in the cloud. The glory of God, of the Lord, appeared in the cloud. This was the Shekinah glory, the cloud that had guided the Israelites out of Egypt. And that was to rest upon the tabernacle. And to me, I believe they had a flashback when they looked up and when they looked towards the cloud and they saw the glory of God. I believe they remembered when they were coming out of Egypt. And if they remembered nothing else, it had been such a short time since the glory of God had opened up the Red Sea and they had crossed the Red Sea. they could see the glory of God. When you can see and you can visualize in your spirit the things that God have done for you. Now, you don't need to see or think about what God have done for somebody else. Just think about where God have brought you from and what he's done for you. That's the glory of God. When he brought you from where you used to be and he got you at a different place in your life right now. And you are serving him and you're not there. The Lord, the glory of the Lord is like a consuming fire. The glory of the Lord is like a pillar of fire. It radiates light. When God does something for us, everything else seems to be dark. It seems to not even be in the present. When God brings you out of a situation that you don't think you can get out of, there seems to be a brightness about it. There seems to be light in it. You see your way out. Light symbolizes the presence of God. When God brings us out, things just seem to be better. The sun seems to shine brighter. The moon is brighter. Everybody else have a tendency to look a little bit better when God bring you out of something, when you realize that you are where you are because God brought you. The glory of God is an awesome thing, and we need to understand that. It radiates like a light. A light that is full of splendor. Peter called it the excellent glory of God in 1 Peter 2:17. The glory of the Lord is the light of the glory and the brilliance that there is no need for the sun. Before the Bible tells us that he put the sun in the heavens, there was light. And to me, in this little small mind of mine, I say it was radiating from God, the light. He just have a tendency to make things a whole lot brighter, just make things where you can see them. This is why whenever you seem to get in a situation and you don't see your way out, and all of a sudden you say, oh, he have lit up something in your mind and in your heart so you know that he is God and that beside him there is no other. God can make light where there seem to be nothing else. When God gets in our situations, we can see our way out. When we allow him to get in our situation, we can see our way out. God himself is such of a bright light that no man can stand in his presence. This is why Jesus is our intercessor. He can come between us and God and take away all that might would hurt us. Point number 6. In verses 11 and 12. God restresses the facts about what he's going to do. He restates the facts to Moses. God himself had heard the people's grumbling, and he would still meet their needs. Now, you heard somebody talking about you, saying all kind of negative things about you yesterday, and here today, they come to you needing you to do something for them. Testing you, isn't it? I know me. I don't know none of the rest of you. Shouldn't have let me heard what I heard yesterday. Because you won't get it today. If I wouldn't have heard it, you might would get it. But I heard it. God heard their murmuring and grumbling. But yet he met their needs, brothers and sisters. He met their need. And he didn't, excuse me, he didn't hem-haw about it. He didn't tell them, if you repent, I'm going to do it. He just did it. Kind of test you, don't it? Joe will talk about me. He might get it, but he's going to have to beg a while. Yeah. But God's not like that, y'all. He knows all the things that we have done and have said, and he's just waiting on us to come to it. And when you come to him, he will receive you as if you had never lived. God was doing this for a very special purpose, that they might learn the truth. Learn more and more that he is the Lord, their God. God wants us to know that he is not a sometime God. He's God all the time. If we would just stay true to him, God will provide just what we need. And because he's your God and your Father, it does not mean that trouble will not come your way. Because I think sometimes we forget, like the children of Israel to me forgot, that we have an adversary. And he is forever on his job. He does not want you to serve this God that we serve. He wants you to come to him because he knows what his end is. And he wants you to be with him. God wanted them to realize and understand that he is God, and he is God all alone, and he is God all by himself, that they can't help him be God, and you can't stop him from being God. He's God, y'all, whether I like it or not. Sometimes we sing a song, he said it, and I believe it, and that's enough. Even if I don't believe it, he's still God. His word is true. He'll keep his word, so therefore we need to stay with him. God alone is the living and true God. He and he alone was to be their God and their Lord and their Savior. He's the God of their life. They need to understand that he's the God that made a promise to Abraham that he would give him the land, and they were in the fulfillment of that promise. God will keep his promise. The problem we have to do is keep those that we make to him. When we surrender ourselves to him, we need to surrender ourselves to him because he's worthy for us to surrender ourselves to him. My last point, point number 7, God fulfilled his promise, and that's in verses 13 through 15. God gave them meat he had promised. The quail came and covered the camp that very evening. The question that I had for myself is, where in the world did all of those quails come from? If it was important enough for me to know, God would have put it in the Bible, and he did. It came from God, and that's enough. He provided them. I believe that the Bible says he provided enough meat for them for them to live off of, and they for those 2 or 3 million people to eat every day of the week for 40 years. Imagine the quail always landing right where the Israelites were. If they were out in the beginning of the wilderness of sin, if they had migrated or traveled 25 miles the next day, the quails found them the next day. Ain't God good? Why are you telling us that, Becky? Because no matter where you are, when God got a blessing for you, God's blessing will find you wherever you are. You can't run and you can't hide. When God want to bless you, if you keep yourself in the way, God will bless you and provide just what you need. You talking about a miracle. Some people say there are no miracles in the Old Testament. They haven't read the book of Exodus. If I didn't read anything else, I would know that there's a God and he does miracles, because if he can feed between 2 and 3 million people in one day, every day of the week, that's a miracle. Can't nobody else do it but God. Burger King can't do it. McDonald's can't do it. But God can. He provided manna in the morning and provided meat in the evening. Ain't God good? But they had been mumbling and grumbling, and all God asked them to do was come close to me, come near me, and I will provide just what you need. God will fulfill his promise. I got to get out your way, but let me tell you, the bread of life, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. That's the bread that we need to eat. Jesus told them in the New Testament, said, you said Moses provided the manna from heaven, but Moses hadn't been to heaven. So how can Moses provide it? God provided it, bread from heaven. He called it look like frost on the ground, look cordine seed. They tell me cordine is a season that you can put in food. They say it look, when they put it in the pot and start cooking it, it looked like waffles and it tastes like honey. Ain't God good? Provided just what you need. The manna said they didn't know what to call it, so they just said, what is it? What is it? It's manna. It's manna, bread that come from heaven. God will provide. My bread from heaven is Jesus Christ. He's the bread of life. That's all you need. Bread is a staple food in any meal. Most people eat bread every time they eat. You might not have meat, but you're going to have bread. Bread of life. Jesus Christ come down from heaven. That same bread came down in the lap of a virgin and was born of a virgin. Come around for 33 years. But he died upon a cross for a wretch like me. That's the bread of life. When you eat this bread, you won't have to worry about eating any other bread. This bread will save your life, but you got to eat the bread. He provides the bread. He told the children of Israel, I'm going to bring it down wherever you are, but you got to do one thing. You got to go out and you got to gather it. God told us that with Jesus. He said, I'm sending him down, but you got to go. You got to receive him. And when you receive him, he will feed your soul. He'll feed you in a way that physical food can't feed you, but you got to let him in. You got to go and you got to gather him. You got to go and you got to take him down on the inside of you. If they just gathered it and didn't cook it, it was no good to them. But they gathered it and they put it in the pot and it fed their souls. Brothers and sisters, when you gather this word and put it in your heart, it feeds your soul. It nourishes your body. It makes you whole. But you got to nourish it. You got to get it in you. When this word gets down on the inside of you, it makes you love people that you don't have any business loving. It makes you do for people that you don't have any business doing for. Because the word, the manna have gotten inside of you. Jesus Christ is that bread. He is that manna that comes from heaven. And brothers and sisters, when we receive him, I'm not talking about act like receiving. I'm talking about showing up. When he changes your life, when he makes you turn from where you are going, and you are on your way to hell, and because you receive the bread of life, he'll turn it around. I'm through, but I don't have illustration, but I thought about this. I said, when we go out to eat and I go to Ryan's buffet. No, I'm erasing Ryan's. I go to Dez's on a Friday, and they got fish. They got cheese grits. They got gumbo. They got ribs. They got bread pudding. They got ice cream. Rutabagas. I try to eat it all. And I thought about I didn't think about this Friday when I was in there, but I thought about it today. Said, more than I needed. He told them to gather an omer for yourself and cook it. No more or no less. When I go to deserts on a Friday, if I go next Friday, I'm going to try to remember this. Y'all stay right where you are. Stay right where you are. That manna, if they would have served, if it would have been buffet style, and they would have gotten too much, and some would have been left over, the next morning, it would have had worms in it. And it would have been stinking. I'm saying that because we have a tendency. Yeah, and I'm raising both of mine. Especially on Friday when I go to deserts. I sin. I eat until I'm over full. Yeah. Confession is good for the soul. And from looking at a lot of us, I ain't by myself. Why don't we do that? Why don't we overstuff ourselves with the Word of God? If we overstuff ourselves with the Word of God, there will be more love and caring within us. And then we could draw others to Christ. Don't try to draw them to yourself. Try to draw them to Christ. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I'm through. God will keep his promise. All we got to do is get in the way of his promises, and he will keep them, and he will provide just what we need. With that, we'll extend an invitation. If you don't know Jesus Christ, this is your time. This is your time to come to Christ just as you are. Don't try to change anything. Don't try to change yourself. Just come and allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life and to make a change within your life. Will you come to Christ just as you are? Will you come? He's waiting on you. Today. He'll take you just as you are. You don't have to change anything. He'll take you. But will you come to Christ? Come today. He'll take you today just as you are. No matter your size, no matter what your sin may be, God will take you just as you are. He will clean you up. This bread of life that we're talking about will feed you. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come?
Amen.